The Amber Stitt Show. I am your host, Amber Stitt, and today we welcome Kim Rozdeva. Welcome to the show, Kim.
Thank you very much, Amber. I really appreciate being on your show.
Awesome. I'm excited for you to be here because I love talking about personal branding. I think you know that. And as I work with other, let's say, projects or working within some of my nonprofit work, I've tried to help with some of the marketing and telling the story behind the vision of whatever it might be, the solution people are offering to people, trying to make it fun and exciting. Insurance can be a little bit of an interesting one. So I try to hopefully bring some joy to my clients' world. But you know, you got to tie that story to the storytelling behind maybe the visual to the product or the solution for the needs people have. And I think you've been doing this work or strategic planning for a long time. So can we introduce you? And I know that you're an author and a blogger, strategic thinker. But can we share with the audience a little bit about what you do?
Absolutely. So I'm currently vice president of corporate communications and public affairs for a Fortune 500 company. But I'll go back in my history, and I started actually in marketing for a number of years. And then I was working for an oil and gas company, retail gasoline stations.
Okay.
And I really, really enjoyed the communication aspect of my job. I started out as a sales rep, and then I went into the marketing group and into sales promotions. And then I went from there to an advertising agency, and I started working in the ad business for about 10, 12 years. I worked for Ogilvy, one of the largest ones in the world. I worked with such accounts as Shell and TELUS. It's a big Arbel version in Canada. So I worked with a number of different retails as well that was out there. And then I went from there back into the corporation. And I went from marketing. I did marketing, and I also did corporate communications. And when I started doing corporate communications, what I really enjoyed about that was the ability to write. I was doing a lot of writing, and that's where I started writing on my blog. But I started seeing what a brand was from not just from a marketing perspective, but I saw how it touches all aspects of the business. So, you know, when you think of any brand that you love, there's a touch point all over the place. There's a touch point when you're actually using the product or the service, but there's so many other touch points along the journey. And all those collectively make up the brand. I took Maya Angelou, very famous quote, and I've adapted it for what a brand is. And a brand isn't about what it says or does, but how it makes its customers feel. So if you think about what a brand is, it's, I don't own it. Like if it's my brand, I don't own it. It's the customer that owns that relationship.
That feeling.
So it's about them and how they feel about the brand. Now, I can influence it with all the touch points. You know, I was telling you earlier that I was, you know, scoping out your website, your blog. You know, I was looking at all the stuff you were doing, and it was cohesive. There was a thought process that you were going through as to trying to connect the dots of building a brand.
Thank you. When you think of marketing, it's like this big thing. So, and even in my industry, financial services, it's like, what does that even mean? And like you have talked about sales, and then there's weaving into different positions as life can take you through different pathways. And I always like the audience to think about what are they doing now? And if it's not bringing them joy, maybe it's a part of the process to get to the next step. But really, when you love what you do, I feel like there's a sheer happiness that comes from that. So for me, I was really wanting people to feel resilience with their planning, with their families, because I've seen a lot of that just not take shape, and it can be very stressful. And so that was part of what I wanted to bring across to people, that it can be stressful, not fun or even icky to think about planning, but it's a must. It's a must. And if you care about anyone that you, you know, if you love anybody, you think about legacy and planning while you're healthy and well. It's like the hopefully the goal, but let's try to make it a little prettier than the stodgy banking institution look. That vibe is very, I'll joke, like a Ron Burgundy of leather bound books in my industry. Like, let's make it more real. Everybody needs it. But I think branding, it's not just for, say, like myself, a business owner. I think branding as a whole is, how are you making people feel, like you said? So do you think that when you think of marketing and personal branding, is it just for, say, this big Nike or gasoline company, or could it be for anybody?
Yeah. So there's different levels, right? I know we're going to probably get into my five C's of branding, but one of the key ones is consistency. And the good thing about a multi-million dollar organization, they can put all of the different governance into place to make sure that the products is being delivered wherever you are in the world consistently. As a personal brand, there's elements of branding that I think are really important. That consistency of how you're delivering either your message or your service is paramount, right? If you don't deliver it consistently and well, and if you're not actually ratcheting it up, because the next time your customer's expecting even more, you know, they're not expecting the same thing. They're expecting more from a brand. So you have to look structurally and kind of like pull yourself away from it for a bit and say, what is it that I'm going to represent?
And then you
have to stand by it. Exactly.
Yeah.
And when you talk, just I'm going to go back to what you said earlier, because I think there was something there that I thought was a really good nugget, is this whole idea of why you're doing it. And to me, that's the passion. Mm-hmm. I saw in, again, all the things that I've, you know, your blog, your podcasts, your messaging that you're putting out, there's passion there. And there's consistency of that passion. You can't fake that. That's where a person can bring that to life more so than a box of cornflakes.
There was a conversation I just had recently with an older person in my life. And there's like this younger generation that I advocate for, but I'm also advocating for that person maybe going through transition 60 years plus. And I was speaking to this person and she was talking about blogging and you can go to Wix.com and create one. Well, what would I say? I would feel really silly. And I know she has a little casita that she rents out. People come travel to see her place in her beautiful backyard in the sunsets in Arizona. And I had to tell her there is a vibe you bring that you need to share with people. It'll help your advertising and business too. And you can write this stuff off, which is also really fun. And her eyes were just like blink, blink, like me. She really has something to give to people. And I don't think she believes it in herself. So if there's ever that little tug that you feel like, I need to share this, someone needs to hear your story, even if it's not super traumatic or it could be really anything. People want to hear that and see the beauty behind that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you started your blog how long ago? It was a while, right? You're probably original before it was like, you know, cool.
It was a long time ago. Yes.
Yeah. The five C's would like to know. You ready to share?
Absolutely. So the first one is commitment. Your why. Why are you doing this?
Why are you mindlessly jumping through all these hoops sometimes?
Doesn't come naturally at the beginning because you're probably designing a product or a service and your why is bigger than just that. When you start getting into it, you know, you start looking and going, well, actually, I'm trying to make somebody's life better in a certain way.
Yeah.
And I want to help people, you know, deal with fear. These are the whys. They're much bigger than, you know, I'm trying to sell this particular product and it has these, you know, attributes and it's better than the other product the competitors are selling. But that's your passion. That's your vision. That is the reason why you get up every morning. Because it's not, you know, I just want to sell another one of those widgets. No, that's usually not what's getting you up in the morning. It's that I'm making somebody else's life better. So that's the first one, the commitment. The second
that really, aligns, sorry to interrupt you, with the focus on talents.
What's
your why can really, if you are understanding yourself to the core and not apologizing for something that you're not, like, don't try to be like the person I was just speaking about. She's got a gift to give to people. It's unique. She should share it. I might be online and be like, oh man, I like that website someone else has because of the colors or whatever. But oh wait, that's not my branding. It's okay. Like I might get a little envious sometimes, but you know, just be true to who you are because then the why can come and the passion can come from it.
That's right.
And that's what's great about getting older because you just have more stories to share and reasons behind your why. So
And you've got the opportunity to give back as well.
Yeah.
Right? So the second one is construct. And construct, really, it's the logo, it's the name, it's the tonality. When you talked about color palette, what does it look like? What kind of images are you using? You know, is it conscious? Are you consciously looking and going, this feels like my brand? Or does this feel like me?
Yeah.
That's
like
that's
this color
a good
red
sign.
Does not feel like me. It's not my color. I'm usually more blues, but I haven't worn it yet. This is not, but I think everything else around balances it.
but
colors are key. I mean,
absolutely.
And as I take photography and do different things, I make sure, and it's a little nutty, but when I do things in my business life, I try to be as cohesive so everything can be repurposed. And it becomes really easy once you start recognizing like your kit essentially for yourself, yeah, with the construct. Yeah.
So that's the second one. The third one, and I think this aligns nicely with one of your pathways of success, which is community. And a lot of people have said to me, oh, I thought it was going to be customer. Yeah. And well, customer is hugely important, but it's bigger than just your customer. It's your employees.
Yeah.
It is the people that you work with and also your community, your actual physical community that you are either involved in or where you live, because this is all interconnected. Mm. And brands understand this. They understand that this is an ecosystem that they have to make better. So that's the third one. Did you want to maybe relate that to your pathway?
When you say that, my brain goes to a book called Big Magic. I talk about it sometimes, but it's almost like you're saying that this brand is almost this entity. It's kind of like this floating idea, but like it's thoughtful once you have the branding established, but it's almost like its own entity serving a purpose.
It is.
But it takes some time to, you know, grow it, nurture it, but then it's got to be consistent. When we go through the pathways, you start with your talents and then you can build money goals around the finances, being money smart in your own proficiency, not like everyone else. You don't have to be a finance expert to understand how money works. And then building in some risk management, it's not just insurance, is how organized can you be in taking that macro, like that bigger view and looking maybe 5-10 years out. And then the fourth is innovation and marketing and technology. It's not, you know, like the AI conversation that could be part of it, but really adapting and paying attention to what people need. And the value behind that can tie into the fifth step being community. Yeah. If you're on the phone and you're smiling while you're speaking, people can feel that. So that's really when you're talking about community to me. It's all going to weave together and that's essentially going to stand out. There's like a lot of competition in my industry and a lot of times I'll hear about the competition I have and I'm like, okay, it's more dry and colder than what our team provides. So I know that that's great for our clients that they can come find us after that. So that's where I think community with the branding, the customer will come because they can seek that out and see the connectedness between what the values you're bringing.
And there's another group that I think is really important in your community is advocates. People that, you know, see what you're doing and want to advocate for what you're doing because they think it's important. And their voice is much stronger than your voice will ever be because it's not a self-interest.
Right.
It's far bigger than that. So it has some genuine attributes.
You're saying advocates in your community?
Yes. That are advocating for your services or your business, your brand.
If you don't feel that there's advocacy around you, you need to probably shift the grouping of people.
Absolutely.
A lot of times it'll shake. Those advocates will potentially shake your worth out of you in the sense of, this sounds weird, but sometimes you just can't see it until they shake the dust off of it. And then you might go, I'm only great at that because, or, you know, like, hey, that's a nice shirt. Oh, it's just on Amazon. Like things that we say to ourselves to downplay some of the greatness we have, the advocates are going to say, hey, hey, and you really got to surround yourself around people that can vouch for you to give you the confidence. But once you see that, you need to let it shine, not feel bad about it. Yeah. There's something weird about that with us and our brains that do that. Sometimes we can downplay the greatness.
Yeah, absolutely. So the next one is content. And this, I think, ties nicely to your marketing and technology. It is all of those facets that you would normally think of in branding, which is advertising, public relations, publicity, leadership. You know, being a spokesperson for an industry or an idea has huge power for a brand. There is digital presence. Again, I'll go through, you know, what you've done to build your brand. There's the website. There's the content that you're building from a blog and from these podcasts. And it's probably social media. These are all touch points of getting your content and your message out, which are really important. Mm-hmm. And then the final one. Sorry, go ahead.
Sorry. Well, the content should fit your narrative, I suppose. For example, it's almost like where they say, take it like niche down. The riches are in the niches, you know, like not always the case, but like, I think if you can be really specific and stay true to your, back to the brand, don't try to communicate to everybody. You might not want to work with everybody. Those people that might want to speak very politically or about religion, if that's the route you take, take it and run with it, but stay consistent with that.
Yeah.
You know, choose whatever it is and, you know, speak truth to that and back to the consistency. And eventually, you know, that community, you'll have that following there. And I think be a little specific when you're trying to figure that out for yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. And so you've touched on the last one, which is consistency.
Yeah.
And that's probably the hardest of all of these.
Get too busy to be consistent. No,
we're the first ones that want to change, right? We were the first ones to say, oh, I don't want to do it. I've been doing this way so long. People are getting bored. No, they're not.
They look forward to it is what I've learned.
Yes.
It also keeps you on track too.
Yeah.
And staying ahead of the game, like with strategic thinking, is easier for me than say my husband, who's more of the fly by the seat of his pants, which we joke about it, but he's the guy that'll get me on vacation and relax. Otherwise, I'll just keep trucking ahead, building that framework. And, you know, for those of us that literally don't want to be on social media, you're building things for social media. There's a lot of things you can do just to plug it in, schedule it out, and walk away from it.
Yeah.
But it still needs to be out there.
And then the other aspect to this, which is not just doing it the same way all the time, but it's also about listening to your customers, because you need to be ahead of what their needs are. So there has to be, and this is where your technology becomes really important. Mm-hmm. AI is going to be a wonderful tool to help you customize things for your customers much easier than you can do it by yourself. But you need these tools and you need this data, this information, so that you can always get ahead of the needs of your customers and trends as well.
Yeah. A lot of people are talking about what's wrong with it. I've done a lean in to say, let's have advocacy on privacy laws and et cetera. And so I have some friends that are deeply involved with that. But then on the flip side, it's plugging it in so that I'm freed up to be more efficient for my clients. And then my family has more time for me too. Yeah. I have more time for them. So trying to really be focused with not seeing the negative, but being aware, but really focusing and leaning in on the tools that are available to us. And you got to stay on top of it. Sometimes it doesn't feel good. Kind of like getting that new cell phone. You're like, oh, where are all the buttons? You have to construct it. I mean, for the most part, it'll swap over, but you have your settings saved. It's like, oh man, you hate doing that. Move the photos. Yeah. But that's how it can feel sometimes, but we have to do it. And if we're not on top of it, it's really going to be detrimental to people that just say, oh no, I've had my business for this long. I'll just leave my company. And then what? We have longevity now. We have to stay on top of it to stay fresh.
Yeah.
So it's really important.
All of these add up to just one thing, and that's how you make your customer feel.
So we probably should just let the cat out of the bag right now and just say that women are the best at this, right?
Well,
I don't know. You got to tell me what's, because you wrote a book about.
So, yes.
This.
And I would say they're the natural brand builder. And what I mean by that, by natural, is one of the most important things if you're building a brand that you need to have for your customer is empathy. You need to understand what they're going through. And a lot of cases of brands built by women are brands for women.
Sure. Okay.
Right? So they know their customer intimately. They know what the problems that they're facing and they come up with solutions. But the empathy is really important. There's brands in my book. It goes back to 1810. There are brands in there going back to the early 1900s that were caring brands. Today, that's a new trend, right? You hear, oh, caring brands, something new. Mm. Not necessarily. There were brands out there. Madam C.J. Walker, first Black millionaire in the United States. And she came up with a line of hair products for Black women. Go back early 1900s and toilets, washrooms were not, running water was not an everyday thing in a lot of homes. So Black women had problems with their hair. And they also had very stress related and their hair would fall out. So she came up with a product to help women, Black women, with hair products to help them with their grooming. And okay, that sounds like a great story. But it actually goes deeper than that. She hired Black women to help her sell her product. And she hired these women who had no education, probably didn't know how to deal with money. So she actually made a university.
Wow.
For her employees. And she just didn't teach them how to sell her products. She taught them how to, you know, dress appropriately, mm-hmm. grooming,
yeah,
you know, reading. So she brought these women up a level that they felt confidence, that they were actually earning their own money, and they were learning as well. Go yeah. further in history, more recent, Mary Kay was mm-hmm. very similar. She worked for many years in an industry of men. She got sick and tired of seeing all these men that she trained got promoted above her. So she quit and she decided she was going to write a book to help other women learn how to succeed in a man's world. And she actually started this book, but then she goes, well, why don't I start my own business to help women? So she did. And that's why the Mary Kay Sales Network, they're independent business people. Purpose was to bring other women to a level, again, that they felt that they could run their own business.
Well, earlier when I said something about competency of money, and there's a buzzword, financial literacy, I grew up with all these entrepreneurs, but from my 20s to 30s, completely skipped being in business for myself because I didn't think I was smart enough because of the mathematics and the grades. I was more of the wordsmith, fine with language, became a paralegal, then eventually got into the insurance business with my family later. But it took me until my 30s and then, you know, over a decade now for me, I want to fast track that for people. And again, the point is you can understand how money works, how taxes work, opportunities with, say, like tax reduction through write-offs. There's different things you can do, but you don't have to be a scholar in finance. So leveling ourselves up and doing some of the work. But it sounds like back in, we're talking 1800s, she saw the whole picture. And I think sometimes, you know, there's a little bit of a lot going on social media and people sometimes are like, oh, it's just too much. I'm just going to do nothing. But it's almost like the modern day bus sign or the big billboard now. It's like updating your website or your blog. And it's like the fresh paint on the walls every couple of years, but it's now virtual. Details matter. And so really trying to focus that on that whole picture, you never know who's watching. And if someone believes in the values and the branding, I think other opportunities can come from that. I think you could probably speak to that. I mean, you've done a number of things in your life.
So each piece builds off of each other. And that, again, consistency, how you deliver what you're delivering, the message that you're delivering is extremely important, but you have to know your why mm-hmm. to be able to do that. Because if you don't know your why, you're going to go, oh, I think this is a great message today. And this is another great message there. But if yeah. it all doesn't tie together, it's a schizophrenic personality.
Let's maybe kind of pause there for a second, because I think we are potentially in this world of instant gratification, need to run the analytics. You talked about data. It's all important, but sometimes it is not going to directly convert to sale or monetize. And so when I said something about original blog writing, I wasn't trying to say anything about like, oh, you must be older. But no, but seriously, people didn't really do the YouTube channel or the blog until maybe the ones that are very successful now have said over 10 years they've been doing this.
Yeah.
So people just think, you know, go viral, and it doesn't always work like that.
No, it doesn't.
And things that are not super trendy, things that have value, it takes a while to ramp up. So it's like trusting that process. And then you can have fun with it too. Maybe that could be the 5 C's with an F. Like, have fun. Because like once you know, then you can build anything around that whole package. And I think sometimes people see the work and like, oh, it seems like a lot, but I think anybody can really think like a business owner, even if they're employed somewhere else. They don't have to always be that person that opens up a practice or a store. There's always an element that you can pull to the table that's entrepreneurial on the side and bring that branding to the table and have fun with it. It could be in the community or church or maybe monetizing.
Yeah, no, you're right. Anything that's really good usually does take time.
So what should people be applying? Maybe if they're driving, listening, like don't be driving and doing this, but what's the thing that they could just think about adding in today, this weekend, whatever it is?
Start asking your question. What is your why? Why do you get up every morning? Why do you go to this job? Why are you selling what you're selling? What are you getting out of it? Because chances are what you're getting out of it, your customer's getting the same thing.
Mm, I like that.
And if you understand what you're giving, you can actually start communicating it. And that'll be much stronger than selling a product.
I believe that. And I think a lot of people too have this negative connotation with sales, selling something. I think a lot of times our conversations are always some sort of transaction of some sort, trading information. Maybe you want to go to a certain movie or restaurant or whatever it is, but there's always this element, you know, to have some why behind the purpose. I mean, they can say we might live long lives, but people that are older can say life's too short. So know what your purpose is and what your why is. I think it makes people happier. There's freedom in that.
There's a great quote of people don't buy a drill, they buy a hole. I take it one step further. That hole that you put in the wall is to help fix a picture, and that picture is of your family. And you look at that picture every day when you're working, because that's why you're working.
I like that.
That's your story. That's your story. That's your why. And what you got to do is connect those dots.
Love that. I love the application of the five C's. I'm going to have to just go back and make sure I'm following all of them.
I think you are.
Awesome. Well, thanks for the good grade then, I suppose. So for our listeners, there's some application there. If you don't know your why, let's figure it out. And if you still can't figure it out, go to your community or build a new one that's got a lot of thought leadership. We always need it, no matter where we are, who we are.
I think that's a great idea, because asking your customer or your community why they buy from you can tell you a lot, actually.
Well, this has been a lot of fun. Thanks for being a new part of my community.
Thank you. Amber, it's been a great pleasure.
I'll be following you more now that I know a little bit more into the details. So we'll link up your information in the description box and can't wait to see more.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here.
I am working on my second book, which is on branding. It is the branding book. So when I get that finished, I'll make sure I'll get you a copy.
Any deadlines that we need to push on you?
No.
Crap, I should have told everybody. Soon. Now I have to perform. No, to do the research, it takes a little while.
Well, I'm doing it part-time, so I wish I could be doing it full-time. Maybe one day I will.
I think that's important for people to know. It's like sometimes you have your core thing, then you can build pathways out to those other fun projects.
Yeah.
While you got your main thing, paying the bills. That's the way to do it.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, I can't wait. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, thank you, Amber.
All right. We'll see you soon.
All right. Bye.
Thank you for joining us on today's episode of The Amber Stitch Show. For more information about the podcast, books, articles, and more, please visit me at amberstitch.com. Until next week, enjoy your journey at home and at work. Thank you for listening.